Wow, what an amazing
That's fun.
Hear my song, Lord. That's kind of the cry of all of our hearts. I was so blessed and thankful what Deanne shared last night. She was so joyful in the process of sharing that. And if you haven't had a chance to hear her blessed, joyful, happy, exhilarating, and you just got to be in for the first part because she sang the title to her song, which is really cool. So pretty amazing. Tonight, we're going to talk about the man who changed it all for us. The man that God's word is really all about. The man that has changed everything in our world and continues to. He is literally the greatest man in history, and I can think we can all say honestly that he is a man that we genuinely have enthroned in our lives as Lord and Master, and we want He and Father God to have their way within us, that's for sure. The greatest man in history, Jesus Christ. He had no servants, yet they called him Master. He had no degree, yet they called him Teacher. He had no medicines, yet they called him Healer. Had no armies, yet kings feared him. He won no military battles, yet he conquered the world. He committed no crime, yet they crucified him. He was buried in a tomb, yet he lives today. Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a believing woman who said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." He grew up in another village. He worked as a carpenter until he was 30. Then for 1 year, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home. He never wrote a book. He never held an office. He never had a family. He never went to college. He never put his foot inside a big city. He never traveled 200 miles from the place he was born. He never did one of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials but himself. While still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies. He went through the mockery of a trial. He was nailed upon a tree between thieves. And while he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had on earth, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend. 20 long centuries have come and gone, and today he is a centerpiece of the human race, and he is the way into God's heart. I am far within the mark, and I should say all of us are far within the mark, when we can say that all the armies that ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments that ever sat, and all the kings ever reigned, put together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as that one solitary life. You take your Bibles, please, and go to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1, Gospel of Luke. We start in verse 26, but you know, there was a very miraculous thing that happened in the early days there, about the time that Jesus was getting ready to be born. There was a wonderful young woman who, you can read about her credentials and her line and all that. There's plenty of resources to find out that information. But there's something about the quality of this young woman's heart that I find so humbling and amazing. And God's timing was just absolutely perfect. He knew exactly the right person. You know, Mary was not like some, you know, Queen of Sheba or something. I mean, she was a relatively normal person, I would assume. And God called her out. Now look in verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. It says, now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Having come in, the angel said to her, now that's interesting, having come in, what was he doing, knocking on the door? I mean, she opened the door and, oh, welcome. I mean, this is just such a miraculous thing. An angel, actually Gabriel, shows up to a virgin betrothed to a man of the house of David. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Now, what woman wouldn't like to hear those words, especially from an angel? Verse 29, but when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. And as of his kingdom, there will be no end. Verse 34, interesting question. Mary said to the angel, how can this possibly be? How is this going to happen? Seeing I do not know a man. You know, in these points in time, besides for the fact that she was a relatively young girl, she was also betrothed or espoused to David, which if you look up that terminology and kind of understand a little bit more basic history, she was involved in a relationship, but she wasn't married yet. And but how do I not know a man? That means that I haven't had sexual relations with the man. And certainly she hasn't had sexual relations to the point of having conceived a child. So it's an honest question. How is it that I do not know a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also has conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. Now, if you put the timeline together for biblical accuracy's sake, I think you'll find that the angel visited Mary probably more in December. So the reality of the conception of Jesus Christ was probably more along the Christmas time. And the birth of Jesus, as we know, was 9 months later, which we've been so blessed to have a greater scope of understanding of some of these things, with wonderful men and women who have come and gone and just spent their life researching the scriptures and putting all this information together, that we know Jesus was born in September 11th, 3 BC. Now, if you back up 9 months, I think that you'll find that's in December, right? Because September is the ninth month, okay? I'm right, right? Yeah, October, November. Yep. So that's a good thing to rejoice about. I mean, it's all good to rejoice about it, but I think for the sake of biblical accuracy, it's cool to just look at them and see what the scriptures have to say about it. And verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary did what? She said. All this is going on. The angel appears. I mean, Joseph's not even in the picture. She's not running out to Joseph and saying, hey, you know, this is what's happening, and, you know, I'm going to be impregnated by the Holy Spirit. I'm going to conceive a child who's going to be the Son of God. I already know what his name is going to be. What do you think about that? No, there wasn't any conversation that was happening. It was just basically between Mary and who? The angel, who was delivering the message from God. So 38 is so great. And Mary said, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel, it says, departed from her. Guys, this is almost unbelievable what happened in this young woman's heart, realizing, and maybe in the moment she wasn't even thinking about it, I'm sure it must have flipped through her mind at some point, that she was in this relationship with Joseph. And here comes this angel giving her this news. And you know what? It's good news. It could also be taken as like, whoa, now what am I going to do now? But as we read on, which we're not going to do today, you'll find that Joseph also had a visitation from an angel that really put his heart at ease. And he was willing to, you know, move forward in the path that God had set out. Really fascinating for two people like this to have such great confidence and trust in God to be able to move forward and move through this pregnancy at even at a point in time where you had to go to another city, right? Any of you and all of you or many of you have been pregnant and know what it's like to carry a child to full term and probably moving and going to another area probably wouldn't be on your bucket list, let's say. Wouldn't be the top of your thing. Normally you want to kind of build your nest and stay at home. Well, you know, Mary and Joseph were in this situation where they were kind of on the road. They were on a journey. And you can definitely read more about the birth of Jesus, but I really want to just point out this little conversation that happened that in the big picture is so miraculous. It's so astounding that just in 8 verses of Scripture, Luke 1, 31 through 38, you have this entire conversation, and you have the agreement to the conversation, and you have the confession of the conversation. There's so many things going on there. You know, in Isaiah 55, you don't have to turn there. I'll turn there for all of us. But it says, Isaiah 55, it says in verse 8, it says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven returns not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater." Verse 11, "So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it." Great fulfillment of that scripture in this situation with Mary and the angel. That word that was spoken, it had profit, it prospered, it accomplished things, and it set the stage for the conception of Jesus Christ. And now you got really two miraculous conceptions, because her cousin or relative Elizabeth was also pregnant, and that was a pretty miraculous occurrence, which you can read about just before that occurrence in Luke and, you know, a couple of the other gospel records. But my point is tonight, who is this Jesus Christ? He is the only begotten Son of God. He's our Passover lamb. He's the risen one who has given us access to God and the promises of eternal life and Christ's return for the church. Amongst a variety of other miraculous and wonderful realities, he has invited us into the throne room of God's love and grace, and he has given us a heavenly standing of righteousness, the very thing that man needed, righteousness. He is the bridge between the natural man and God, and he is our peace. Who is this Jesus? He is our Lord, our Master, and our soon-to-return Lord and Savior, which we so look forward to. Heavenly Father, thank you for the joy and privilege of sharing the Scripture, sharing this Word, Father, that we agree with, we confess, we say, we want it. Let's go for it. Be it unto me according to thy Word, Father. What a humble, humble girl. At that point in time in history, you just set up it perfectly, and there she was. We can only imagine what the angel must have been like visiting her at that time, and boy, I'm sure thankful for her response and for all the things that came as a result. And now here we are as your chosen ones, your children, with all of eternity before us. So we thank you, Lord, for your goodness and grace and mercy in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.